We're in Matthew chapter 13, so if you would turn there, please. Matthew chapter 13. 2 weeks ago, we started this message, and specifically relating to Jesus will not do to you what you don't want done. And we're looking at Matthew chapter 13, which is the great chapter dealing with the parables, looking ahead into the future. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed many things about His kingdom, the parable of the wheat and the tares, the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven, the tares is explained, the wheat is explained, the treasure and the goodly pearl, the full net. All of these are indications of how things are going to wrap up on this earth before the Lord reveals Himself in His second coming and establishes His kingdom here upon this earth. And then we come down to the last verses of this chapter, and I want you to follow along as I read from the King James, beginning at verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, He departed thence. And when He was come into His own country, He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And He did not many mighty works there because of their, say it please, unbelief. Unbelief. Something came between them and faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to be talking about what it was. And if you think that it's not a problem today, then you're not paying attention. That's all I can say. You ever been caught not paying attention? I got honked at this past weekend. I wasn't paying attention. I was sitting at the light. And I was looking down, and I was looking for a piece of paper that I'd stuck up underneath my drink holder there, and I was reaching up underneath there, and all of a sudden, beep, I looked up, green light. Everybody else was blowing by me. So I hit the gas, you know, and I pretended like I was going to catch up with the rest of them. You know how it is when you get embarrassed like that. But I wasn't paying attention. I was not on my phone, okay, just so you know. I was looking for a piece of paper that I'd stuck up underneath. I did find it after I got back and got in the parking lot. But I was trying to find that piece of paper that I had put underneath there with some notes that I had. And I wasn't paying attention to the light. And somebody behind me reminded me that the light was green. Right? That's a good thing. No need to get all bent out of shape and upset and angry because somebody honked their horn at you. Just say thank you and move right along. But here we find that there was a major, serious problem with people who could not get past the fact that Jesus was one of their own. This can't be. It just can't be. He's from Nazareth. All right? Now, let me ask you something. I don't know anybody that says, "Oh, you're from Milton." Right? Where's that? You always have to say what? It's near Pensacola. Because if you say, "Well, it's near Baghdad." What? "Oh, it's near Pea Ridge." Oh, that'll get them every time. Yeah. "Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know where that is. Pea Ridge." Right? "It's near Pace." They don't know any of these cities. Oh, I never thought about that. I could use that from now on. Where is Milton? It's near Milton Bakery. Everybody knows where Milton Bakery is. It's famous all over the world. Everybody knows where Milton Bakery is. You can't find Milton, but they can find Milton Bakery. But people, and generally speaking, when people think about Milton, are they thinking about the upper crust of society? Oh, yeah. Now, when you say, now get this, when you say Destin, all right, you automatically think what? upper crust. All right, Mrs. Opeger agrees with me. And if she agrees with me, then we're right up here, okay? Upper crust, that's where all the Hollywood elite go. They vacation there. They have condominiums there, okay? That's up here. Milton, yeah, we're down here. Pea Ridge, a little bit below that, okay? It's just not a famous place. And you know what we have a tendency of doing? We all do this, right? We have certain prejudices about locations, all right? We do. I just fess up to it right now. We all do this. Southerners have prejudice against those people that live up there. Some people say up there or something like that. I don't know. And the opposite is true, too. Those hicks down in the South. Right? We all do it. It's just the way we are. We're kind of programmed that way, are we not? You think about, we see this in the Bible many, many times. What did the Jewish people think about the Samaritans? They were called dogs. Why? Because they were half-breeds. They were half-Israelite, half-whatever it was, The Assyrians from the north, they were all part of that. There were some other peoples that were Gentiles. Oh, you want to get an Israelite worked up? You talk about the Gentiles in a positive manner. We all have prejudices. And to say we don't is a lie. Because we have a human heart that's prejudiced. I want you to think with me for just a little bit here. Thanks to Dr. Watt, I'm getting to use a Mac Pro tonight. Okay? I've stepped up in the world. Okay? And so this is wireless. And I won't trip tonight, promise you. But he very kindly did that. That way we can also have the PowerPoint screen for those that are on the other end of our Facebook Live. So Matthew 13, there are four things here that's brought out in the text that I want to give you. Number one was the fact that the people were truly astonished at two things. All right? They were astonished, first of all, at the wisdom of what Jesus said. And secondly, they were struck by His mighty works that He did. So He spoke with wise words and He did these wonderful works and they were astonished at all that, but that was all erased. It was all erased. He spoke with wisdom. You remember the wise man of Ecclesiastes? I think it's chapter 5. Who spoke wise words and he saved his town. And what did they do afterwards? They forgot all about him. He spoke wise words. It saved the whole town, everybody in it. And didn't they go back to him and say, thank you so much for doing it? No, they just went on their way. How about the 10 lepers? You remember them? The Lord Jesus Christ heals them, saves them. Only one comes back and says what? Thank you, Lord. Just business as usual. Here were men that were dying with this horrible disease, leprosy. They're healed, not a thank you in their mouth. Go on back to normal, doing our own thing. You see, folks, it's amazing that these two very important qualities, wisdom and His mighty works, were completely erased in their minds because they were prejudiced. He was from Nazareth. He can't be doing these things. They just said they were astonished at what He did, but they erased all of it in their minds. Number two, they questioned immediately the Nazareth connections, the Milton connections, the Pea Ridge connections. I'm putting it where we can understand it, all right? That just can't be. He's from Pea Ridge. Or he's from Jay. He's from Holt. or even worse, Harold. It can't be. He can't do that. He did do that. He can't say those wise words. He did say those wise words. He did perform mighty works, and they were astonished, but in their minds it was all erased because he's from Nazareth. All right? Just keep that in your mind because we're going somewhere with this. Number three, they rejected the possibility that Jesus was authentic. Oh, there's a word for today. Everybody uses that word, authentic. All right? Authentic. I'll move on. I'm not going to spend any time on that. That they rejected the possibility that Jesus was authentic with His words and His wisdom, His works and His wisdom. This is all a mirage. This is fake news. Now, are you starting to see the connection? This can't possibly be truth because so-and-so said it, even though it may be absolute truth. It can't be true because Christians said it. That's where we're going today. All right? Our faith in Jesus Christ, our trust in His written Word is offensive to people today. And it's going to be so offensive that they're going to want to do something about it. That's what's coming. It's coming to our country. We're watching the violence and we're watching all this stuff over unreasonable actions. A retired police captain was shot in the back of the head, African-American man, defending his friend's business. He worked as a security guard there. He's retired, but he was working as a security guard. They wanted to preserve it. He was shot in the back of the head by a rioter because he looked like a policeman. He was a man that had poured his life out in service for 50-something years as a police officer. There's no reason behind that. Don't tell us that there's good that comes from that. You have to be completely deranged to come to that conclusion. But you see, people that don't have the Word and they don't have a knowledge of Jesus Christ, they can turn the world upside down and call it right side up. You ever met people like that? You'd say, oh, look at that turtle. That's not a turtle. That's a tortoise. Or that's a skinned cat. Okay? Just to be on the opposite side. You ever met people like that? We call them contrarians, right? You say one thing, that's not it. Not at all. Now, number four. What was their response to all of this? They were offended. Literally in the Greek language, it's the word they were triggered, which has become a very important word today. Things trigger people. So when they're triggered, whatever action flows, Dr. Watt and I were talking about this, whatever action flows from my triggering is therefore amoral. It's not good, it's not bad, it's amoral because you triggered me. So whatever actions flow out of me, no one is responsible. And whatever consequences come are what? That's racist. Okay. Because I was triggered, whatever I do, I mean, there's no right and wrong here. Just whatever I do is okay. That's where we've come today in America. I want to tell you something. Public education has been the most successful educational tool ever invented. I will stand by that statement. I've said it before, and I'm going to keep saying it. It is the most successful educational tool because what it's done is it's created little mimickers that go out and mimic everything they've been taught. Don't think. Don't know how to think. Don't know how to process information. But we don't do that. We just go out and mimic. We're like mockingbirds, the state bird of Florida. You ever heard of a mockingbird? You can always identify them because they're mimicking all the other birds around them. He'll be making one sound 1 minute. Next thing you know, he's making another sound. He's mimicking the other calls of the other birds. We don't have thinkers today. I wish I'd brought an article that Jenny had sent to me about a woman who wrote about the senselessness of the Nazi regime in the 1930s. She was a progressive, but she said this concerning the leaders of the Nazi Party, the Third Reich. She was exposed for this too. Boy, they despised her, they hated her, they went after her. But she said there's not one thinker in the whole group. All they do is mimic each other and just repeat. They don't have to have reason behind it. They just mimic it. Hitler in Mein Kampf said that the Jews were to blame for all of Germany's economic problems after World War I. No proof. None. No proof. Nothing was listed out in the book laying out all the proofs for what he just said. He just said it, and he built a Third Reich based on it, and he murdered 6 million of them. You want to know how no thinking will lead a nation and a country? And here we see it right here. They were triggered. Why? Well, Jesus says, from Nazareth, therefore he could not have done these mighty works, and he could not have said wisdom. Does that make any sense to anybody? No. And what did they do? They crucified him. They crucified him. No reason, no criminal action, just lies that were told about him, and he was taken to the cross, and he was crucified because he dared to go against their narrative. Now, folks, if that's not modern, if that's not right now, then we're not understanding what's taking place. That's where we're moving. Very quickly, I'm going to wrap this up just a little bit early. Jesus' words and works were met with immediate resistance. They weren't just content to just say, all right, that's his opinion. Have you noticed that about our day? It's no longer, okay, you have your opinion, I have my opinion. All right, we just agree to disagree. Not anymore. Not anymore. You disagree against the narrative. You're hunted down. You're told that you're ignorant and you're a fool and so forth like that, and you must accept what we say. What happened to the founding principles of America? Freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, freedom to petition the government, the right of the press, all right? You know, those five freedoms that are listed there in that First Amendment are all under attack right now. They're not content for you just to simply disagree. You must conform, or you're going to be hurt. You're going to be hunted down. You're going to be discredited because you dared to go against the narrative. So that's important for us to understand. Not only that, but their prejudice was related to where he was from. Where he was from. Isn't it interesting that today there is such disdain for people who live in the rural areas of America? You see that. I read Time magazine every week. I get my magazine and I read through it. I read nothing but disdain for people who live in rural areas that cling to their guns and God. That's the mockery tone, all right? As if people who live in the cities are just way up here, okay? The people that can't even spell right in their graffiti, all right? If you're gonna, you know, write something out, at least spell it right. But no, we can't even do that. But they're up here. And you people that live out there in the rural areas are a bunch of hicks, bumpkins. Now, I'm not out here defending the rural areas versus the city. What I'm saying is this. The prejudice against Jesus that kept them from coming to faith in Him was where He was from. They couldn't get past that. Is he not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary among us? His four brothers and his sister, aren't they just part of us? And they were offended because of who he was. And so immediately he was dismissed. He was erased in their minds. He cannot be wise and he cannot do mighty works, even though he did so. And they were astonished by that. Totally irreconcilable as far as reason. But that's where we are. That's where they were then, and that's where we are today. What is prejudice, by the way? You ever looked up the definition? This is from basically Webster's 1828 dictionary. It was very long. I condensed it down because I only had this little bit of space up here to get it in. So I shrunk it down. What is it? Prejudice is preconceived opinion. I'll stop right there. Preconceived opinion. All right? Now, I've seen things cooked that I had preconceived opinions about. That could not possibly taste any good. Look at whatever that is. I got surprised in the Philippines. I was staring at a creature I had never seen before in my life. And they said it was a lobster. And I said, that can't be a lobster. It doesn't look like lobsters that I've seen. It didn't have the big pinchers on it. It had little nasty looking things that stuck out. All right? And I said, that's not a lobster. And I said, it's a lobster. Okay? It's a lobster. And I played around with it and I broke things. I had pliers that they gave me and I was cracking it up. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. I'll take a Maine lobster any day of the week. Because I was picking little teeny tiny pieces of meat out of there. I said, this is way too much work. So I moved on to the fish and had some of the other, they had huge shrimp. They were just prawns. Just huge, very, very tasty. But that lobster, it just didn't look like a lobster as far as I was concerned. But it was their lobster. I had preconceived ideas. I was prejudiced against that lobster. All right? Now, I'm not going to go and get on my knees in front of this crowd and say, I'm so sorry, Mr. Lobster in the Philippine Sea. I'm so sorry that I was prejudiced against you. You see, prejudice is something that we all have in so many different areas of life. If I were to do a poll here of how many of you like lobster, I'm sure I'd have some that say, not me. I don't like lobster. Right? And my wife is one of them. I found out. First major date that I went on. I was up staying with them and I was visiting Beth and I said, hey, I'm going to take you all out to Red Lobster night. This girl is from Maine. And said, let's go! So we loaded up, we went and picked up Beth, we went to Red Lobster. And I said, just get anything on the menu. I was trying to be, you know, really, you know, big with the bucks. And of course, you know, 16 lobsters and whatever it was. And, I mean, all seafood. And then there was Beth. What are you going to have? Do they have chicken? I said, you're from Maine. I made an assumption. I assumed being from Maine, that lobster was like number one on the list of seafood things. She didn't like any seafood. Now, since we've been married, she can't eat catfish. So we've converted her to one item on this. And it's not even really seafood. It's from the creek, you know. But I have gotten her to eat that. And she likes hush puppies. So we're almost there to glory. We're working on it like that. And I'm going to have to stop here. But the point is this. We all have prejudice. We all have preconceived ideas. But a prejudice is a preconceived opinion that's not based on reason or actual investigation. It's because of something we've been told. You ever been told things that weren't true? Yeah. We've all been taught things and told things that weren't true. Because so-and-so down the road or back, you know, 100 years ago said something and we passed it on down about certain people, certain relatives. I don't want to ever see you talking to them because that's from that side of the family over there and something like, you know, we all have had that, whatever. But we didn't investigate it on our own. We just assumed it to be true. We have to watch out for that, because it kept the people of Nazareth from trusting in Jesus Christ. And he said, a prophet is without honor among his own people and his own family. Prejudice kept these people from coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that sad? But there are many people that are prejudiced against the Bible. They're prejudiced against church, the concept of church. And you have prejudice. We deal with it in many different ways. But this, and we're going to look at these three things that Jesus wanted to do in the future. Three things that he wanted to do and he wasn't able to do in Nazareth, because they resisted him on the basis of where he was from. Humans do that? Evolved Homo sapiens would do that? Yeah. That's just about our level of thinking right there. Because of where he was from, we don't believe him. Resist. Crucify him. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. The justification of murder. That's all it takes. Is we can't accept him because of where he is from. We can't accept you people because you're Bible thumpers. You're Bible believers. Folks, it's here. It's here. And we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's what the Lord said. Amen? We stand up for what's right, but we're harmless as doves. Wise as serpents. All right? A serpent never announces that he's about to pounce on his prey. They just sneak up. Okay? That's what Jesus said. We're to be that kind of wise. Harmless as doves. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. I pray that you would teach us in this little series about where we are today. And there are some things that you just won't do because of unbelief. I pray that we might understand the truth that you have for us in Matthew 13:53-58. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.